Hello and welcome to Fight Picks with the Pros. My name is Chris Holdsworth, and today we're going to review six fights for the upcoming UFC 266 card featuring Alexander Volkanovski versus Brian Ortega in the main event. Today I'm joined by UFC Hall of Famer Uriah, the California Kid Faber. Let's go.
Introducing Fight Picks with the Pros. Brought to you by FanDuel.
All right, first fight, let's talk about Marlon Magic Marias versus Marab, the machine. Last name?
Divashelaville.
Yeah, hey, that was better than, that was better than me. All right, so this is a bantamweight bout. Marlon looking to bounce back after losing, two straight by TKO. Mm. Now, Marlon's always been one of those guys. He can finish top guys quick, but he gasses out. When it doesn't go his way, he wins that first round, but then that second, third round, he starts dying down, and he usually ends up either getting finished or losing a decision because he just doesn't have the muster to, you know, keep that output up. He's fighting a guy, Marab, that just keeps coming forward. The machine. The machine's the nickname for a reason. This guy will keep coming forward, pressing you against the cage, looking for takedown after takedown. That's his style. He'll get in your face and just try to, like, muscle you against the cage and just takedown after takedown. So this is going to be interesting. You know, Marlon, more of the striker. He's going to need to dance around, not get pressed against the cage. But we know what Marab's going to try to do. What's your take on this, Uriah? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, the more dangerous guy absolutely on the feet is Marlon. I mean, you've seen him knock guys out point blank, including he's the champ right now. Aljamain Sterling, you know, iced them on that kick.
Yeah.
But it's crazy how he gasses. I don't know if that's, I mean, he's very, very explosive. Sometimes they say the explosive muscle has trouble with the long haul stuff. If it goes to decision, I don't think there's a chance that Marlon's going to win. Just this guy, Marab, is a grinder. He's durable as hell. He's got like a thick head, thick neck, thick bone guy, and he's like willing to take a punch. He gets himself all psyched up and wants to get like hit me kind of guy where he's just going to take one to get his hands on you and ragdoll you. And I think that's probably going to be the way this goes. There could be a KO or a TKO, absolutely. I think Marab, we've seen him get knocked out. He knocked himself out against Ricky Simone. I watched that one. He picked him up, slammed him, knocked himself out.
Yeah,
so he is physically capable of being knocked out, but I don't think he's going to knock himself out this time. I think he probably learned his lesson. So I'm going to lean towards him as the favorite, although I think that the KO or the TKO is a very viable possibility for Marlon.
Yeah, if it goes past the first round, I got the machine, Marab. You know, six straight wins, you know, Sambo world champ, you know, judo black belt. I feel like if Marlon doesn't put him out in the first round, I think Marab's going to press him against the cage, get the takedowns, and wear him out and win a decision. So I'm going with Marab by decision.
Gotcha.
All right, next fight. Let's talk about Jessica Andrade versus Cynthia Calvillo. Of course, we got to talk about Cynthia. You know, she used to train with the team. Good friend of ours. I saw Cynthia start off in the amateurs and just work her way up.
Remember, she didn't want to go pro until she won an amateur belt. She said, I don't want to go pro until I get the amateur belt. I'm like,
really? A workhorse. She was in the gym every day, practice after practice. You know, a true workhorse. And we usually see the workhorses end up in the UFC. The people who just put their nose down and train, just show up to practice, listen to their coaches, and just follow the process. And she was like a prime example of following the process and making it to the UFC. But she's got a tough former champ in Andrade.
I don't think she's on AKA now. I think she went to AKA. Now she's at Couture.
Couture.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so Cynthia's bouncing around, and you know, she's getting different looks. You know, Jessica's just coming off that loss to Shevchenko. She got TKO'd in her previous fight. And, you know, Cynthia lost to Chookagian in November, which she just couldn't really put anything together. Chookagian just outclassed her.
Right.
Give me your take on this. What do you think about this matchup?
So I think, again, we're looking at two different styles. When it comes to the mentality, I don't think there's someone that can beat Cynthia when it comes to the grind. She's going to grind. If she's capable of winning and she can find a way, she will. The thing that I think she's going to be lacking here is the speed in the stand-up. Mm-hmm. When it goes to the ground, I'm going to give the advantage to Cynthia all day. She's a brute in here. She would mess up a lot of guys. We'd bring in guys from other countries and, you know, that were about her size and be like, oh, go with Cynthia and watch her drop them on their head and submit them and everything else. So I'm going to say that I'm going to lean towards Cynthia because I think she's going to be durable enough to withstand, savvy enough to withstand the stand-up, mm-hmm. but better on the ground. And I think with a camp out there with Couture, they're smart guys. I think they're going to tell her, hey, get it to the ground and have the advantage. So I'm going to lean towards her. We've seen her. It's like the devil that you do know versus the devil that you don't. We've seen her in the room. We can vouch for how hard she works. And I think and last time I saw her, she was big, like big, strong, the biggest I've seen her. Like she's been lifting heavy.
She moved up at weight class.
Yeah, moved up a weight class. I think that's good for her.
Yeah, females, they have trouble, you know, making those lower weights. Sometimes they kill themselves to make that 115 of that extra weight, and their hormones and their body get all whacked out. And most of the time they go see a doctor and they tell them to go up in weight, and they feel so much better. I think Andrade's going to – she's going to pose some threats to Cynthia in the grappling department. She's a black belt as well. She's strong, and she's got good wrestling. So I don't see Cynthia being able to take her down. I think it's going to be very hard to take her down. This is going to be like a scrappy fight. Like if Cynthia wants to win this, she's got to get in her face and make it ugly. She's got to make it ugly, get in her face, and just make it an all-out scramble and try to gas her out.
Cynthia's a big underdog.
Yeah.
So you're taking the favorite, Jessica.
Man, I don't know. Like it's hard for me to bet against Cynthia because I know what she's capable of. But you know, Jessica, she's got a lot of those strengths that Cynthia has. The grappling, you know, she's got good strong punches. It's hard. Like I want to say, you know, like my gut's pulling towards Andrade just because I don't know why, but I'm gonna go with Cynthia. I think Cynthia is gonna pull it out by decision.
Okay, Cynthia, and I do think like Cynthia obviously has put on the time in her stand up, but when it comes to like what's her strongest suit, it's like her grappling.
Yeah,
for sure. So at least when she was here,
Cynthia by decision as well.
Yeah,
all right, so we got the same. All right, next one we got Curtis the Razor Blades fighting Jorginho Biggie Boy Rosenstrike. All right, you know, Curtis Blades, a wrestler, you know, he's all about the takedown, getting a ton of takedowns per round. Blades is number one heavyweight with top position time and control time, so that just proves my point. Fighting out of Elevation Fight Team, 14-3, 10 TKOs and 4 subs. His last loss is from Derek Lewis in February. He got KO'd, and it was a nasty KO, too. But Jorginho is a kickboxer. He's more of a, you know, calm, calculated. He waits for his opportunities. Really good in those outside, inside low kicks. And this guy can finish you, you know, with his hands too. He's got 11 TKOs, so he can finish you with his power. But he's got to stop the takedown. Curtis is gonna try to take Jorginho down. And in my opinion, if he gets the takedown, it's gonna be hard for Jorginho to get up with Curtis's wrestling. So I'm pulling for, you know, Curtis Blades this one. I think his wrestling is going to, you know, be able to take, you know, take Jorginho down and just, you know, add to that control time and win a decision.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to – well, the one thing that stands out to me against Jorginho is his 80% takedown defense. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I'm curious, you know, how many shots have actually been taken versus just the stat of 80%.
Yeah, I don't know if he's fought wrestlers either, like a wrestler like Blades.
I think he's been kind of building. I think the wrestling, if a guy like Blades commits to, I'm going to get the takedown, I think he'll get one, right? And he's got to stay safe in the process. So I'm going to lean towards him. I think that's going to be his game plan. I think he's durable enough, savvy enough. He's got a great team. Elevation Fight Team's a great team. They've got great coaching out there. I think he's going to be savvy enough to stay safe on the feet and be able to get it to the ground and get the decision or submission.
Yeah, Jorginho's definitely going to play it safe. You know, heavy hands, low output. He's going to wait for his opportunities, probably trying to counter Curtis coming in with something.
But I think Curtis...
You count it, you got to be right on the mark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be the wrong decision, though, because, you know, I think Curtis is going to get those takedowns and be the aggressor the whole fight, and Jairzinho is just going to be one step behind and lose the decision. So I got Curtis Blaydes by decision. All right, we got a big fight to talk about. Nick Diaz is coming back after six years, you know, off a cannabis suspension. He's fighting a rematch with Robbie the Ruthless Lawler. Now, this was at welterweight. It was signed at welterweight, but the new thing, Nick Diaz, he wants it at 185 now. Yeah. And whatever Diaz wants, Diaz gets, because the fight's at 185 now. Right. So who knows what happens? Maybe you know, Nick didn't want to cut those last 10 pounds. Who knows? Maybe he just wanted to stir something and make it, you know, a Diaz, you know, type of matchup in his favor. But you know,
I saw myself time in. So they asked Dana at the press conference. Dana was like, "Shit, would it be a Nick Diaz fight if there wasn't some shit like this?" He's like, "I'm talking to Robbie. He's getting off a plane. I'm going to see what he thinks. I'll get back to you guys. I'll let you know." And so Robbie said, "I'm cool with it as long as we keep the fight on." And so Robbie accepted.
What? 85?
They changed it from 170 to 185. Welterweight to middleweight.
Gotcha.
So Diaz obviously didn't want to cut the weight or something.
Yeah, but I think Robbie's probably the bigger guy, though. You know,
that's why he was probably had no problem.
Yeah, he's probably all right. Yeah, thanks. Cool. We'll do that. Like, that's gonna. Yeah, I think that's what's gonna go on. And I mean, look, the Nick Diaz that I know is a workhorse and puts the time in. I hope that's the same guy that we see. It's really hard, and we've seen it in here ourselves with some of our teammates, past, future, current, that get a break, whether it's a forced break or just decide to take a break. And it's hard to accept the grind again. It's like, man, I've been going without this. It's like life's a lot easier without the nasty grind of being a professional fighter and being all in. I'm curious if Diaz has been able to get back in there, or if he even ever left, you know. Yeah. I mean, so if he is back in the mix, and it's funny because they have a similar record, even though Diaz hasn't fought in 5 years, a similar amount of fights, a similar amount of wins and losses, and you know, it's one of those things where if the Nick Diaz shows up that we think he could, I mean, we saw how the first fight went. I mean, he won. He knocked him out, and
yeah, that check hook was nasty.
Yeah, check hook was nasty, yeah. But you know, how do people age also? If you look at Robbie Lawler, he still looks like the specimen that he always has, and I don't know if Nick is gonna look the same. We'll see.
Yeah. You know, Lawler's coming off 4 losses. Nick's coming off 3 losses. But those 3 losses are to Anderson Silva, GSP, and Carlos Condit.
Yeah.
At their prime. Like, yeah. When they were like, yeah. You know, Carlos was at his prime. You know, GSP, you know, still there. And, you know, a lot of those fights were, like, decisions.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure all 3 of them were.
Yeah.
And it sucks to see him, you know, be suspended for 5 years because of marijuana.
Yeah, how ironic and weird is that?
You know, you
now
see
it's legal.
And you see people get, you know, test positive for EPO and they're suspended for 2.
Yeah.
So like, I don't understand that by any means. But you know, I'm happy to see him back. He's got the 2-inch reach advantage. Robbie's the bigger guy. Robbie's been the more active fighter. Let's see what type of game plan Robbie has. I think Nick needs to get in his face right away, be the old Nick Diaz, and just start going to work. Because he can't let Robbie just get in his face and start, you know, implementing what he wants to do. It's going to be interesting. Well, like you said, I know Nick's been partying these last 5 years. I follow him on Instagram, you know, see him in the nightclub a lot. But I think he's one of those guys that parties but then runs 10 miles the next day. Yeah. So he's like always in shape, but at that level, at this level, that's not, you know, it's not conducive to what you're trying to do at the highest level anymore. You can't do that and win at the highest level.
Yeah.
Well, you still can.
The question is how much has he cut off that unhealthy lifestyle, you know? And I think, you know, he's a guy of discipline. I know the Diaz brothers would go and eat you know, vegan just for their camps, not for always just for life, you know, but they would do it for camps. They would show some sort of discipline extra, and they probably cut out other things they would do, and I think he's got that. I'm going to go towards Diaz. The one thing that I'll always remember is when those guys would come in and train with us, because they came and trained with us a lot, especially back in the day, is they have a presence that's draining. Like, it's not like they're winding up and hitting you with the biggest shots, but they're, like, looping them in, like, touching you, small movements, big payback, and they'll wear guys out. You know, if you go back and watch some of Nick's best fights, it's been just wearing guys down, setting records for the pace that he keeps. And Lawler, on the other hand, is a one-hitter-quitter type. Like, yeah, he touches you hard, and you're going to go down. And so that... The difference is Diaz is the long-haul player, Lawler's the short-term player. And so I think as long as Diaz still has the chin to take it, I think he's going to be the victor.
Yeah, I think Diaz definitely has the discipline. He's not going to be partying like he used to. You know, he's got a fight coming up. He takes things serious. I think he knows his name is on the line. He doesn't like losing, so he's taking it serious, I'm pretty sure. I'm going with Nick Diaz. I've always been a Diaz fan, and you know, Team Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, baby, yeah. Let's go. Robbie's, you know, we'll see how much better Robbie's gotten, and we'll see if Diaz is taking it seriously. But I got Diaz by decision.
I'm gonna say Diaz by decision or late TKO.
Okay, I like those picks. All right, second to last fight on here, Chris.
All right, Valentina Shevchenko versus Lauren Murphy. Everyone knows who Valentina is, champ. She just keeps knocking them down. Everyone, they line up for her, she's knocking them down. And she's primarily finishing everybody. 21-3, 7 TKOs, 7 subs, just TKO'd Andrade, 7 straight wins, 6 title fights. I can keep going on and on. And she shoots guns. So I'm like, I'm a huge.
You're saying, yeah. You got to propose what? Yeah. If you're watching this,
I might.
Valentina, it's your guy.
This is like the third time Chris has gotten smitten on this podcast.
Yeah, he's
Valentina,
getting all
so.
Rosy cheeks.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Valentina, I'm going to send this to her.
Yes, I'm about to slip her my digits if I ever see her. But yeah, I'm a huge fan of Valentina. She's got the kickboxing. She's got the grappling. She can take you down. She can submit you, or she can knock you out. You know, Laura Murphy, she's got a lot of fights, and you know, 15-4. You know, my personal opinion, I don't think she's not gonna have anything to pose any threats to Valentina. She's gonna be too slow. Valentina's kicks are just gonna come out of nowhere. I can see a switch kick from out of nowhere and just knocking Lauren out. That's what I think that's going to happen. She's going to get hit with a head kick and, you know, end up getting TKO'd or something on the ground.
Let me mix this up as we throw it over to Uriah. Okay, she's the biggest favorite on the card at -1800. Okay, so they're giving Lauren Murphy like a 2% chance to win this. Get it from her perspective. She's coming in as the biggest underdog on the card. Every odds maker, every pick show like this is picking Valentina to beat her. What should her mentality be coming in? What should be her game plan coming in?
Well, if you look at the stats, she's a striker. So I would, when you're dealing, what do they say? Box a boxer, fight a box a fighter, fight a boxer, right? That means make it ugly when a guy that's incredibly precise and technical, and when somebody gets wild, you know, you got to pick them apart. So for me, I think she needs to know that she has 8 TKOs. She's got little to no submission ground game threat when it comes to stats. She needs to make this a nasty fight, get herself in the best shape possible, and get herself into deep water on nasty exchanges and make it ugly in the stand-up game. And she has to be aware of the takedowns and submissions, because Valentina's, you know, no joke when it comes to that.
Her takedowns have been looking, man, yeah, her takedowns have been looking really good.
Right. But I think the you can't be so cautious that you're watching out for the takedown and not let your hands go. She's got to try to knock her out, dude. She's got to have confidence so that she can get back up if she gets taken down, and just make it a pace and an ugly, yeah, type of fight that Valentina hasn't seen before. And I think the odds are pretty, just because of the skill set that we've seen from Valentino, and you know, the champion at the weight above, the 2 weights above, yeah, you know, Valentino arguably beat her. right?
Amanda Nunes?
Yeah, Amanda Nunes.
Well, Amanda Nunes beat her both fights, right?
Yeah, but arguably, I thought Valentino could have won one of those fights, and Amanda Nunes beat Cyborg, and so, you know, MMA math never adds up, but I there was a fight where I was like, I thought Valentino won that fight, you know?
It was a close one.
A close one. So I think the odds are pretty good, and Laura Murphy needs to know, hey, go have fun in there, get nasty in there, make it an ugly fight, and go for fucking broke.
Yeah, Valentina, she's been playing with her opponents. She made a statement on that last fight. She wanted to take Andras down and TKO her. I think she said that before the fight, and she did that exact thing. Yeah. She didn't even want to strike with her that much. She went for the multiple takedowns and just dominated her on the mat. And she wanted to show people, like, hey, she's a black belt, but look at me. Like, yeah. I remember her telling the camera that, like, hey, you call me a striker? That's all I can do? Look what I just did.
Yeah.
And if she's playing with, like, top contenders like that, and you got Lauren Murphy, who started MMA when she took her son to jiu-jitsu class, and you got Valentina, who's been doing martial arts her whole life, I just think it's just two different spectrums in martial arts. And
it's like almost kind of like the Black Beast in his last fight, too. It was like, yeah, he's got a chance, but one guy's like...
outclassed.
Yeah.
Anything's possible. You know, five straight wins. Lauren, you know, she's going to get in her face. She's going to try her hardest. But I don't think she's going to have the answer for Valentina. I got Valentina by TKO in the second round.
I think...
Even submission, man.
Yeah, it's going to be a finish. I don't know which round.
Okay, you got Valentina by finish?
Yeah, maybe third round.
It's time for the main fight pick of the evening.
All right, the main event. Alexander the Great Volkanovski versus Brian T-City Ortega.
Yeah.
I've been looking forward to this one. You know, Ortega is my boy, Team Ortega. I came up training with Brian when he was, you know, 12, 13 years old, just a little white and yellow belt at the Gracie Academy. And it's just crazy. He was always a few years younger than me, so I was like, you know, got the better of him when I was like a little bit older. Then all of a sudden, like, Brian got to an age where I was like, damn, like, this dude is like 15 or 14 years old, and he was like getting really good and starting to bring it to me. And I was like, man, this guy is gonna be good. And just seeing like the different trajectories of like me moving to Vegas and doing my thing and training with a different team, and then him staying and where he was at, and then, you know, becoming a contender and, you know, possibly UFC champion. So it's just awesome to see, you know, the climb and, you know, just the journey that he's gone on. And but he's fighting a guy like Volkanovski, who's beaten the best guys in the division, hasn't lost since 2003, 9-0 in the UFC. He's proven himself time and time again. 22-1. So, you know, Ortega's gonna have his hands full. I think Alexander is gonna you know, play his little leg kick game. He's gonna get in his face, and I think he's going to press Brian against the cage and just try to dominate him in every asset of mixed martial arts. But, you know, Ortega switching camps, you know, he talked about in some of his fights that...
Where did he switch to?
Beforehand, he's now training with... I think he's training with TJ and those guys, man.
Tiki and Kane.
But, like, beforehand...
Tiki, show him the way, buddy.
Yeah, Ortega was saying, like, his camp and his coaches before never had anything planned for him. They just come in and do whatever they want. So now, like, things are structured. He's actually got coaches for each discipline. And from watching that fight versus Korean Zombie, his striking, his Muay Thai looked at a whole nother level. And if that's just one fight, but, you know, from his injuries and stuff, I think he had a lot of time to make those gains. He was out for a little bit because the shoulder, the knee. So I think he was making gains through that whole time. And it showed in that last fight versus Korean Zombie. So I'm excited to see what else he's improved on, what other tricks he's got up his sleeve. And, you know, Ortega's the type of guy, he hits you in the right spot, you're going down. You do the wrong thing, he's getting a guillotine, he's getting a triangle choke. So you can't count his jiu-jitsu out, you can't count his power and his striking out, but he's fighting a guy like Volkanovski. So give me your take, Uriah. I'm going to shut up and just give you the mic here.
So first off, Ortega's our California guy, so I'm always on the California team. I know the one thing for sure he has is a ton of heart and some great ability. He has been improving. I'm curious on the distraction side of things. he's got a lot more in the limelight. I know he's always had a good group around him to help him stay focused. I don't think he's getting distracted into really bad, bad things. But as you know, as you get more in the fame, you get more notoriety, it's harder to stay singular focus and not get pulled here to go do this for somebody or do that. You get the best salesmen in the world that want to have you come hang out with them because it makes them look cool or whatnot.
Yeah.
I just hope he's not getting pulled into that at all. You know, I heard that he changed teams. You know, I just had a good talk with one of our younger fighters. Like, you can change all these teams you want. Everything you need is right here. This is the day and age of ignorance being a choice. I mean, you can watch a technique video. As soon as you wake up in the morning, you can drill it as much as you want throughout the day, and that's how you get good at things over and over and over again. All right? Now he's got new coaches now that are showing him the stuff. It's all about what he's done to implement it. Has he put in the repetitions? Has he made it instinctual? Has he been singularly focused? Volkanovski's like a good old boy, you know? Like, he's like a, like, hang out with my family, train, hang out with my buddies. Probably in the off season, drink a couple beers, lift weights. Like, he's a fucking brute, that guy.
Oh yeah, for
you know, sure. And he's not getting any. His life probably hasn't changed much, as being the champion or being the limelight or anything. It's just like, hey, yeah, I'm hanging out with my kids, drinking. You know, I'm gonna go fight the boys, and you know, and there's something to be said about that mentality, you know. And I think there's a reason why he hasn't lost since 2013. It's a lifetime of wrestling. It's consistency that you see in some of the best, and so I got to give the edge to Alexander, even though I'm rooting for our California guy. And I think absolutely Ortega sees an opportunity, he's going to capitalize. I don't see it being a submission as much as I do being a knockout. We saw it against Clay was getting the better of Ortega, Clay Guida, here in Sacramento. Clay was putting it on and winning the fight easily. And last minute, when it was clutch, when it was game time, Ortega jumped up and finished him.
Yeah.
And so he's got that gamemanship about him. Part of the reason why people love him, he's got that hero, that it factor, where he stays calm, cool, collective, and can pull off something like that. And I think he's got a chance there, but if I was going to pick 7 times out of 10, I'd say Volkanovski. But I think those 3 are very likely. But I think 7 times out of 10, I'm going Volkanovski.
Yeah, and I know we say, you know, MMA math doesn't work out, but it's got to be somewhat of a confidence booster to know you've beaten Holloway, you know.
Yeah.
And then what Holloway did to Ortega.
Yeah.
So I know if I was in Alex's shoes, I would be like, that would be a big confidence booster for me, just knowing, you know, that. But like you said, MMA math doesn't work out that way. So I'm pulling for Ortega. You know, I think he's going to catch Alexander slipping, even though, like, I can see Alexander winning a decision, just like putting him against the cage, winning these wrestling scrambles, and just getting in the guard and, you know, just stifling all of Ortega's attacks. But, you know, I'm going for my boy, Brian Ortega, T-City. I want to see a triangle late in the 4th round. Let's go.
Let's go.
All right, thanks for watching Fight Picks with the Pros, brought to you by FanDuel. Please don't forget to like this video and subscribe to our channel. We'll see you next time.
Hello, everyone. Bruce Buffer here. Thank you for watching the MMA Surge YouTube channel. We hope you enjoyed this video. Don't forget to subscribe and get notified when we upload next.